Well, last week we began a message series that we're calling Give It a Rest. It's based on the 23rd Psalm, and last week our focus was on the biblical idea of God being like a shepherd who leads us and how sometimes, really oftentimes, we resist God's direction. That we are like sheep that don't want God to get in our way, that we want God to bless our plans rather than God directing our paths. Now today, I want us to focus on this idea of letting go of want and worry and guilt. And again, I want us to take a look at the first three verses of the 23rd Psalm, and I'm going to read from both the New King James Version and from the Message paraphrase on that passage, and then look at words of Jesus found in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In the New King James Version, we read this from the first three verses of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. The Message paraphrase puts it this way. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. And then from Luke 12:15, we read this. Watch out and guard yourselves from every kind of greed, because your life, your true life, is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you might be. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us through these words of Scripture and through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Now you have to admit that I've been good. I've not used one illustration from college football all this fall. And I know that many of you appreciate that. But I'm going to ask that today you humor me and even acknowledge the illustration that I'm about to use connects with the subject at hand. In the first line of the 23rd Psalm, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in the first part of the message for today, I want us to focus on that line, "I shall not want." So here goes the football illustration. Many of today's college football fans are not happy unless they win it all, unless they win a national championship. Now think about this. There are 125 teams in Division I college football, so it means at the end of every season, there are 124 fan bases that are disappointed. And my point is that this all-or-nothing way of thinking always leaves us disappointed and wanting more. So much for all the lessons that are learned by participating in college athletics. So much for building lifelong relationships with your teammates. So much for celebrating a victory. So much for celebrating a winning season. So much for winning your division or your conference. So much for going to a bowl game. So much for making the Final Four. The thinking seems to go, if you don't win it all, somehow you've failed. Thinking this way means you're never going to be happy. Or maybe once every 50 years. It's a stinking way of thinking. It always leaves you wanting for more, never satisfied with what you have or even who you are. It's living with an attitude of scarcity rather than abundance, which isn't a good way to live. In his book, Traveling Light, Max Lucado puts it this way. Come with me to the most populated prison in the world. No prison is more populated, no prison is more oppressive, no prison is more permanent than the prison of want. We find ourselves in the prison of wanting more, wanting something bigger, something nicer, something faster, something thinner. We always want one more thing. one new job, one new car, one new spouse, and we get tricked into thinking that this one, this new thing, will make us happy. But then the new job becomes the old job pretty quick. The new car with that wonderful smell passes. The new spouse has the same old habits that the previous spouse had, and then our neighbor buys a larger television than the one we bought 6 months ago, and around and around and around it goes, chasing the wind. Ever find yourself in that prison? If so, how do you get out? The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The psalmist says, in effect, you need to give that way of thinking a rest, because it will steal your joy and rot your soul. Think for a minute about all the stuff you own, your house, your car, the jewelry you inherited, the stocks that you've traded, the clothes that hang in your closet. Think of all that stuff, and then let me remind you of a simple biblical truth. None of it really belongs to you. It's just stuff that you've accumulated that will go on to the next of kin when you check out this life and enter the next. When one of the wealthiest men in history, John D. Rockefeller, died, his accountant was asked, "How much did John D. leave?" And the accountant replied, "All of it." All that stuff, it's not yours. And what's more, all that stuff is not you. In Philippians 4, 11 and 12, St. Paul writes this, "I have learned to be satisfied by the things I have. I know how to live when I'm poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty." It seems like we get trapped by these two words, if only. If only I get that promotion. If only I could find the right person. If only my team would win the national championship. Then I'll be happy. You got to give that idea rest. The psalmist writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything I need." More important than anything you can count or put a price tag on is the fact that you have a shepherd who hears you, a God who loves you for who you are, not for what you could be. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You have God's grace for every sin. You have direction for every turn, a candle for every dark room, an anchor for every storm. What more do you need? Now, there is another thought pattern that we need to just give a rest, another prison cell that robs us from living with joy, and that's worry. The biblical word for worry is a compound of two Greek words, merezo, which means to divide, and nous, which means the mind. And our worry splits our energy between priorities for today and tomorrow's problems. Part of our mind is on now, but the rest is on not yet. And that kind of thinking leaves us living in anxiety. Max Lucado also tells the story of a man whose thinking dominated his worry. So he decided to do something about it. He decided to hire someone to do his worrying for him. He found a man who agreed to be his hired professional worrier for a salary of $200,000 a year. Well, after accepting the job, the first question he asked his boss is, "Where are you going to get the $200,000 per year?" To which the man replied, "Well, that's your worry now." In Matthew 6:27, Jesus said, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And the answer is what? No. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me to green pastures, to still waters, and there he restores my soul." When we get overwhelmed by our wants, when we get overwhelmed with worry, God wants to guide us to a place where we can once again hear God's voice and to be reminded that we need to give it a rest from want and worry. Sometimes when I find myself getting overwhelmed by my list of wants and my list of worries, I try to find some time to just do a timeout and find a quiet place where they're kind of like green pastures and still waters. And it's amazing how spending time in nature has its way of clearing our minds and reminding us what's truly important. Sometimes in the summer, I just get out on my bike and I go riding out in the country. It changes my perspective. Sometimes I leave the office here and I walk through the cemetery next door. I just need quiet time. Sometimes I'm working here late at night, and I'll just come here in the sanctuary. The lights are off. It's quiet. And we need that time. We need to find a time to shut everything off. There is way too much noise in our world, don't you think? And we need to shut it off so we can hear that still, small voice of God directing our paths and leading us to those green pastures and quiet waters, because that's where God restores and repairs our souls and then sends us in the right direction. There are times we just need to give it a rest and trust the shepherd to lead us. Now, there's one more area I'd like you to think about today. One more area that we need to just give a rest, and that's in the area of guilt. Someone asked me the other day what I found most difficult about being a pastor. It took me about 2 seconds to come up with a response. It is the expectations that people often project on you because of your role. They think because you're a pastor, you're supposed to do everything right all the time. You're supposed to be holy. You float around on clouds or something. I don't know. So sometimes I'll go out golfing on my own, and I'll pair up with another person or a threesome so we can make it a foursome. And I really try hard not to tell them what I do for a living because it changes the dynamics. Oh, I guess we better watch our language. We have a preacher with us. They feel like they need to clean up their act. Let me tell you, if you're ever on a plane and somebody's talking all the time to you and you want to quiet them down, tell me you're a pastor. Well, I'm not telling you a lie. I'm just saying, you could do that. Watch the reaction. It's like, oh. Or they find out what you do, and then they're in shock when you tee off and send a ball way out of bounds, and you say something like, gosh darn it, gee golly whiz. Some of you who have gone golfing with me know that those are not the words I use when I slice the ball. But for some pastors, there's this pressure to be perfect and even guilt when we're less than perfect. That's a horrible way to live. I think I gave that up the first week of serving on a church staff when I was in college. But I still get tired of the expectations others project because of my role. And I remind them in the book of Revelation, chapter 15, verse 4, it says, only God is holy. For you alone are holy, God. Well, most of us try to do our best, and while we try to live in a way that pleases God, we fail. We all fail. Sometimes we fail pretty miserably. St. Paul writes this in the third chapter of the book of Romans. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, we are all put right in Him through Christ Jesus, who sets us free. In other words, that load of guilt that you carry around, give it a rest. There's an incredible power to confessing our sins to God and accepting God's grace. It allows us to just move on. There may be some people who will never forgive you. That's their problem. Not yours. And when you and God are good, does anything else really matter? No need to carry that baggage that other people may want to load on your back. Rather, accept that free gift of God's grace that sets you free. Remember that last line. You are set free from your mistakes, from your sins, from other people's expectations. It's not that you have earned this. It's God's gift to you. Again, from his book, Traveling Light, Max Lucado tells the story of a tradition that his church staff has. It's called a cookie swap. Most of us have done that. Everyone brings a tray of the cookies that they've baked, and then they leave with a tray of cookies that they've collected from other people. And this was a tradition of the staff of the church he worked on. And Max got thinking about this. He says, I can't bake anything. I only burn things. So I probably shouldn't do this. So he sends an email out to his staff. He says, I can't cook. Can I still come to the party? Did you think that anybody on the office staff would have mercy on him? No. Do you think any of the other pastors would have mercy on him? No. Do you think any of the program staff would have mercy on him? No. Do you think anyone in the worship staff would have mercy on him? No. Abel? No. Nor anyone on the building staff. Now, you would think that a church staff might be a little more merciful than the business world, right? Not at the church Max serves. I know it would be different here at DeWitt Community Church. Let me just say that. But at his church, nobody had mercy on him. They said, if you're going to show up to the cookie exchange, bring cookies or don't come. Well, some sweet soul in the church heard about Pastor Max's predicament. And it happened to be one of the best bakers in the church. And she somehow got news, and she baked these amazing cookies for the pastor to take to the party. And he writes, like a prince carrying a crown on a pillow, I carried my tray of cookies into the room, set it on the table, and I stood tall. Because some good soul heard his dilemma and responded, and he was given a place at the table at the cookie exchange. And Max uses a story to illustrate that this is really our story. The story of grace, which is extended to us by the hand of God through the person of Jesus Christ. We may have our list of wants, but when the Lord is our shepherd, we really have all that we need. We may carry around a suitcase full of worry, but when the Lord is our shepherd, he leads us to green pastures and quiet, still waters that restore our soul. We may be immobilized by guilt of our sins, by omission or commission, but when the Lord is our shepherd, he leads us on the paths of righteousness, winding up a steep hill where there is a cross at the top. And at the base of that cross are bags, thousands and thousands of bags filled with our mistakes and our sins. For you see, Calvary is the compost pile for guilt. And God said, give it a rest. Leave your bags here. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask for you to give us a rest. A rest from want and a rest from worry and a rest from guilt. We ask for you, our shepherd, to lead us to green pastures and quiet waters to restore our souls and set us on a path of living in alignment with you and the way you created us to live. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.